during this time of Advent, we are thinking together about the fact that Jesus has a name. His name was given to him when the angel told his dad, Joseph, "Joseph, don't worry about the fact that Mary's going to have a baby before y'all expected it, because this is of God. He's the one working. And you're going to have a baby, it's going to be a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. That name means God saves." And so we're spending these weeks leading up to the celebration of his birth by thinking about that name. He has a name. His name is Jesus. What we discovered last week was that hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And this morning we're going to discover together that peace has a name. It is in Christ that we find real peace, and so peace has a name. His name is Jesus. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I invite your attention to John chapter 14. If you'll look with me there in John chapter 14, I want us to begin at verse 25 in just a moment. John chapter 14, and we're going to begin at verse 25. You know, if we were to take a quick poll of favorite Christmas carols, one of those that would be at the very top is Silent Night. Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Just the words bring to mind that sense of calm and peace. It brings a beautiful imagery to our minds, and we love to sing Silent Night. But it is rarely the life that we actually live in December. For many of us, this season is anything but silent. It's a season of traffic jams and aggressive marketing and financial pressure and calendars that are so full they look like battle strategies. We're told this is the most wonderful time of year, but often it feels like the most stressful time. We find ourselves desperate for peace. But you know, usually when we say we want peace, what we really mean is we want a break. Just give me a break for a little while. Can everybody just sit down and be quiet for a minute? Can we have some peace and quiet? Just shh. We're looking and longing for that calm. Jesus said something one time that is amazing on a number of levels. One, it's amazing because he teaches us that we can have a sense of calm, of peace, no matter what's going on around us. And the other reason that it's amazing what he said is that he said it to people who were in terrible stress. He wasn't speaking to people who were sitting comfortably in padded pews in nice air conditioning. He said it to guys who thought their lives were in danger. In John chapter 14, Jesus is spending the last few hours with his disciples. He knows that his time has come. He knows that he's going to be on the cross very soon. He knows that one of them has already betrayed him. And he knows that one will very soon deny him. The disciples are gathered with him, and he teaches them those things that he knows are the most important things they need to know before he leaves. Picking it up in verse 25, he says to them, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see, Jesus knew that he knew something they didn't know. They knew that they were in some kind of trouble because there was already talk all over town about how the leaders were trying to set it up so they could kill Jesus. They knew that something was going on because he had already announced to them that one of them would betray him that very night. The disciples had to be in a stressful situation. They knew that something was wrong, but they could not have known what he knew, and that is that he would actually die for them in just a matter of hours. He had tried to prepare them, and so he said in earlier in this chapter, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Your Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going to go prepare a place for you." He told them that he was going to leave them. And now he says, yes, even though I'm going to leave you, the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you, but he's also going to help you remember. Because Jesus knew that very soon he was going to be arrested, dragged off to fake trials, and put to death. And there's no way these guys were going to remember the conversation they had over dinner. And so Jesus says, what I'm about to say to you is so important. God is going to send the Holy Spirit to remind you of these very words. And he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." For him to say that in that moment is amazing. It's incredible. Their hearts could not have been at ease and certainly would not have been had they known all that was about to happen. And yet he says to them, "My peace I give to you." He knew their peace couldn't have handled it, but "my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled." And that takes us to the first thing I hope we notice together this morning. It speaks of the place of peace. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's saying that peace happens within the heart. Peace is an internal experience. That is important for us to understand because most of us want peace. We just think that we're going to finally get peace when we get over this disease, or when the kids finally grow up a little bit, or when the job finally gets straightened out, or when so-and-so stops gossiping about us. We're finally going to have some peace. But did you hear? All of those things are external. All of those are outside of me. And Jesus says real peace happens inside. Not dependent on external circumstances or other people. The peace he gives is a peace that I can have no matter what's going on around me. Several years ago, matter of fact, it was a long time ago, around World War II times, they were still trying to learn all they could learn about the best ways to use submarines. And so they were testing them in different ways, tweaking them, doing new things to enhance them. So there was a time for a test, and in this particular test, they told the submarine to go deeper than it normally would go, and they wanted to run all these different tests and try all these different things. And so on the day that it was time, the crew got on board, and they went down, and they went down really deep. They stayed the agreed upon length of time. When it was time, they came back up to the surface. When they got to the surface, the commanding officer said, "Oh my goodness, what a terrible storm last night. How did the submarine handle the storm?" And the captain of the submarine said, "We never knew there was a storm because we had reached what is called the cushion of the sea, where you go deep enough that even the storms above don't affect what's happening around you." Jesus says, you can find something in a deep relationship with Him. You can find a peace that is deep enough that no storm can interfere with it. Regardless of what the external experiences are, the circumstances around you, what people are saying and what they're doing, you can have a peace within. That's what He meant, by the way, when He said, "My peace I give you, not like the world gives to you, but it's the way I'm going to give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled." Because the world can only offer external peace. And that peace is, by definition, temporary, because things change. So if our peace is dependent on things external of ourselves, we can count on that peace being temporary. So Jesus says, "I'm not giving you a peace the way the world does that comes and goes. I'm giving you something within." The place of peace is the heart of the believer. It's the same idea of the snow globe that we talked about just a moment ago. When life is shaken, everything's crazy and you can't see clearly. And that's the way many of us live our lives. The world gets to shake us up and we live in confusion. Jesus says, "I can bring a peace to you that cannot be shaken." Even when the world tosses you back and forth within, oh, you still have the problems. The storms still come. But in the midst of the problems and the storms, there is a peace. The place of peace. We need to then understand together the provision of peace. Who provides it? How does it come? He says it very clearly, doesn't he, in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." I think this year, more than any other time that I've ever read this text and prepared for Advent, I think this year, more than any other time, that word "my" has jumped out in my mind, in my conscience. "My peace I give you." That's never really registered with me like it does this year. Jesus says it's His peace, because He knows you can't manufacture that kind of peace. The world cannot give it to you. No other person, no matter how much you love them, can give you that kind of peace. And so He says, "I'm not telling you to go learn peace. I have peace, and I'm giving you my peace." So then I had to think, well, if it's His peace, how does He have that much peace? And then it became clear. He has peace because He has a relationship with the Father. In just a moment, he, or what we read earlier, He said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. You see, there's this relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is in that relationship that Jesus is at peace. Therefore, when He says, "I give you my peace," He's saying, "I'm making it possible for you to have a relationship with God the Father so you too can have this peace that I have." This peace goes so far beyond just being quiet and calming down. This peace is a peace founded in relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, that is actively affecting who I am regardless of what's going on around me. The provision of peace is amazing. By the way, when he speaks to them of peace, he is not using the word the way we do. For us, peace is the absence of conflict. When Jesus uses the word, he uses the word shalom. And shalom is so much deeper than the absence of conflict. It's not everybody get along. Shalom is well-being, spiritual well-being, emotional well-being, physical well-being. It speaks of completeness, of wholeness. So when Jesus says, I want you guys to know peace, I want you to know shalom, I want you to know wholeness and completeness, a well-being in your body, in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. By the way, there are people still today who regularly greet people with that greeting, that blessing, shalom. And they're not just saying, hey, hope everybody gets along with you today. They're saying, I pray God's wholeness in your life, that you are well in every way. You know, there are folks who continue the tradition of passing the peace when they meet for worship. That is a continuation of this same concept. It's a beautiful tradition. Basically, wishing well on the other, praying God's blessing. When we pass the peace, we are basically saying shalom. Now, we don't usually use that term in our tradition, but when we all stand and greet one another, that's the idea. We're encouraging one another. We're building fellowship. We're saying, I hope all is well. Shalom. And that is only possible through the person of peace. We see the place of peace is the heart, the provision of peace. He says, my peace I give to you. And then look again at verse 25, at the person. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. While I'm here, you can see me. I can talk and you can hear me with your ears. There was a physical interaction, contact there. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus knew he was about to leave, but he also knew that the Holy Spirit was about to show up. We can't see Jesus today. We don't get to hear his words from his lips in our ears. There's not that physical contact and interaction. However, the Holy Spirit is here in his name. And part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to remind us what Jesus said, and that is, my peace I leave with you. The Holy Spirit is the person who brings peace into the heart of the believer. That is so fitting because we understand that Jesus' name was to be Emmanuel, God with us. And now in the person of the Holy Spirit, he is not only with us, he is in us if we're believers. And he is the one at work bringing peace. You know, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we are not listing ways to be good people. The fruit of the Spirit is not a checklist. Oh, I'm not very good at this one. I need to work on being better at this one. And that's not what that is. The fruit of the Spirit says that when the Spirit of God is at work in your life, this is what it produces. The fruit is the product of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that happens when the Holy Spirit is allowed to work freely in a believer's life is it produces peace. The person of peace. And then as we get close, as we get closer to ending our time together, I want to make sure that you recognize the power of peace. There is a power in peace. Look at verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Jesus knew that his time was drawing nigh. He knew that he had but minutes probably left with them. And it was time for him to move on. And as soon as he did, he knew that the enemy was going to come in. He says very clearly, I'll no longer talk much with you. The ruler of this world is coming. But look at the power of peace, because the very next thing he says is, the ruler of this world, he has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Peace says the enemy is on his way, but I know that the enemy has no control over me. What I'm doing on that cross, I'm doing because God told me to, not because the enemy is going to win. He actually has no hold on me. In John 10, Jesus says, I lay down my life and I'll take it up again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down. He was in complete charge, because there is this power in the peace within. Even when the enemy is attacking, his peace is one that can say, the enemy's on his way, and yet let's arise and go. Let's go get this done. There's power in peace. Travis Tritt is a famous country singer. Before he was famous, he was not. He was just a singer. And when he tells his story, he says that when he started, you know, for quite a while there, he spent years playing in small, out-of-the-way bars and taverns. He said that, as you might expect, these were dangerous places sometimes. His fans were mostly drunks. Now, this is his words. His fans were mostly drunks who had a hard time controlling their tempers. So bar fights would break out, and even entertainers were in danger sometimes. So how did he handle it? Well, this is what he wrote, Travis Tritt. Just when bar fights started getting out of hand, when bikers were reaching for their pool cues and rednecks were heading for the gun rack, I'd start playing Silent Night. It could be the middle of July. I didn't care. Sometimes they'd even start crying, standing there watching me sweat and play Christmas carols. There's power in peace. Playing Silent Night in the middle of violence changes people. You and I need to stop thinking about peace passively. That we hope one of these days things will calm down and get better, and then peace will just happen. Peace is powerful. It comes from the Prince of Peace. He says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, but I'm going to give it to you in a big way, so that no matter what's happening in your life, within you can be at peace. You can be calm. The enemy had no hold on Jesus, and he has no hold on Jesus' people. That peace is so powerful. It affects us in all kinds of ways on various different levels. One, his kind of peace will help us to be at peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says that if we are still in our sin, we are at enmity with God. That means we're basically enemies. Our sin makes us basically enemies with the God who loves us. but through Jesus. Because of his sacrifice, when we trust in him, we let him change us into who he wants us to be, we can be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only can we be at peace with God, but we can be at peace with people who are different than we are. When Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, he wrote to a church that was full of folks who used to be Jews and the folks who used to be Gentiles, and now they're all together in learning how to become a church, and they come from different backgrounds and different traditions. How are they all going to figure it out and get along? Ephesians 2 and 14, he said, "But he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." The peace that he brings can help us be at peace with people who are different than us. The peace that he brings can also help us be at peace with other believers. When Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians, he was writing to the church as a whole, corporately. It's almost as if he said, "Hey, y'all." So he says in Colossians 3 and 15, "Y'all, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Who's the primary decision maker in the church? It better be the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Let his peace rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. He called us to peace, so let his peace rule in us. And be thankful. We can be at peace with God. We can be at peace with people who are different than we are. We can be at peace with one another in the church. And we can be at peace with ourselves. Philippians chapter 4 is not tended corporately like y'all. This is speaking to you as an individual. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard is a beautiful word. It's a military word. And it's the word that's used of a sentry. You know, a sentry that marches around that which he's protecting. He keeps his eye out. He's watching. And he's protecting this. This is the word that's used. That peace that Jesus brings us will guard our hearts and our minds. It'll guard who we are and how we think. If we let the peace of God do the peace of God's job, then it's going to guard our hearts and our minds so that every day we become more like Christ and we live in his peace. Peace has a name. His name is Jesus. Dear God, thank you so much for your Son, our Savior. Thank you that you have sent the Prince of Peace, who paid the price that had to be paid that we might be at peace with God and others and ourselves. Today we want to say thank you. Help us that we might live in that peace regardless of the circumstances around us. We pray, Lord, that as we experience your peace in our hearts and our lives, that we would become more like Christ and thereby share that peace with those around us. We pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand together.